Hey, it's Pete Cooper. Doc is on assignment elsewhere. Welcome to the podcast. We've got, me and the Lord, you know, we're just doing our best right now to kind of stay in the throes of what it is to be an American Christian. What it is to be a Christian living in America. What is it looking like for you today? That would be interesting. I'd like to know. Maybe you can send us some comments here. What do you think is the condition of things? I got some news here. I got my new Dake Annotated Reference Bible and the New King James Version came today. I'm super excited about that. And so, you know, we're in the throes of Christmas and New Year's here. I kind of wanted to do something a little fresh today and talk a little bit about the mind. I'm going to kind of run through 9 observations of the human mind on account of its inner orientation. The fallen human mind is in conflict with the mind of God. And maybe you know that. Maybe that's just something that you're like, yeah, tell me something that I don't know, right? But this is the good news. Your mind is capable of knowing God and of being changed and renewed by Him. That is good news that comes right out of the Word of God. Amen. And then maybe if we get around to it, I don't know, it kind of just depends on how quickly we start to move through things. But I was also thinking about, you know, some solutions to the renew, to, you know, how can you renew your mind? How do you do that? I mean, I hear a lot of people, you know, we talk about that. What does that really look like? How do we enter into it? And so that's kind of where we're at. If you have your Bible, I sure do hope that you have a Bible, and not just a digital Bible, but you know, to go in and really get yourself into a Gutenberg, get yourself into a tangible in paper Bible, so that you can start, you know, taking notes, write in your Bible, underline things, asterisk things, put dates next to passages, things that can help you remember things. You know, where you were at a certain point in time, or maybe somebody pointed something out to you. You can write that into the margins. And this is something that I've done really for years. All my Bibles are all marked. They're just marked up. They just get marked up. And then, you know, you got to go into it, get a new Bible, because they get just sections get overly marked. And then you're like, why is everything highlighted in here? So just kind of moving into something fresh. But the reason why is I want you to think about leaving behind a legacy. You can't do that with a digital copy of your Bible. You can't do that really with YouVersion. You can't pass that on down to your kids. You know, they might be able to see your history, like where you were at and the passages you were reading, but there are just things that get marked in a Bible that I think are really important. And your kids and your loved ones are going to be happy that you did that for them. Amen? All right. So I want you to turn with me. We're going to go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we're going to go into verse 11. So, you know, 9 observations of the human mind. That's what we're looking at. You know, I was thinking about, like, is it like 9 observations before and after the cross? Is it 9 observations, Old Testament, New Testament? I don't know if we really even need to divvy it up like that. But I just kind of started getting busy in my Bible software that I've got. I use Logos 9, L-O-G-O-S. I'm on version 9. I think that's their newest version that they have right there. And I use a bronze package there. You know, they got silver and gold. And, you know, you can spend a lot of money on that kind of stuff. And I spent a little bit of it kind of when I set off to go to school back in the day. And, you know, it still pays really good dividends for me. And so I was kind of looking at the mind, and I don't even know why I even got here. But I wrote it all out, you know, and you know, I take these notes, and then I stockpile them somewhere, or squirrel them away, or I'll put them into my my attaché case, and I don't really call it that, you know, in your backpack or whatever you carry around with you, right? But I was like, you know, being on the road and traveling and whatnot, and I'm thinking, hey, I think this is a place that the Lord might go. And so I have these notes that are kind of stashed off and highlighted. And so I just thought, you know what, I'm going to share that with you today. So number one, you will accomplish all that you put your mind to. I mean, we know this. You think about the Tower of Babel, right? You know, the Lord saw that, man, these guys can do anything that they put their minds to. I started just kind of looking right at it in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 11. It says, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. And Solomon successfully accomplished all that came to his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house." So, you know, he did this, all that came into his heart. The heart is this is the place that starts to manifest things, right? And you've heard Doc and I talk about, you know, what you see with your eyes, what you hear with your ears, those gates that, you know, you need a good gatekeeper to keep your mind in a good place. If you are constantly watching news cycles, if you're constantly watching horror movies, if you're watching action movies, if you're reading Harry Potter books, spells and casting spells and witchcraft and these kinds of things, you have got to start to remove yourself from these playing fields, because there is a battle that is encroaching right now on the church, and that is to really to pull her down, to cause her to destruct, self-destruct really from the inside out, kind of like what cancer does to the human body. This is what's happening to the church, is that we're starting to get very lax on the things that we're reading and we're watching. And if you listen to people, what they're, you know, what they're talking about around the water cooler, or, you know, at the shop, the things that they're doing, where they're going, places they're seeing, the way that they're speaking, you can kind of start to formulate in your mind where they have been just by the way that they speak. So the human mind is the seat of reason and decision making. Number one, you will accomplish all that you put your mind to. So if you're putting your mind naturally into those kind of rivers and those kinds of streams, unrighteous things, watching those kinds of things on the TV, or listening to those kind of things on radio, however you're getting information into your brain, that goes down into your heart. That is the seat. That's where decisions are made. So you can accomplish whatever you put your mind to, whether it be for good things or for wicked things, whether it be for things that are in the natural or things that are in the supernatural. You know, it's for good and or for evil. Go over to 1 Peter. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Maybe you've been here. Man, I just like the feel of a new Bible. You know what I mean? It just feels nice. 1 Peter 1:13, living before God our Father. Verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. This is a command. Do this. The Lord's saying, do this. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also Be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. It says, doesn't say, eventually you will become holy. It says, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. That's in fear of the Lord. So the human mind, accomplishing all that you put your mind to, you have got to be serious about this, being sober-minded, resting your hope fully on the grace that's brought to you through the revelation of Jesus Christ. You don't come to the revelation of Jesus Christ by sitting down and watching a couple of movies before you go to bed. You don't come to the revelation of Jesus Christ by reading Harry Potter or by reading James Bond, or I don't even know what's out there, to tell you the truth. I'm not, you know, I'm not a big fictional reader. I in the past have kind of been a movie guy myself. I had a buddy, you know, we would always, you know, turn each other on to, you know, movies, and it's just not a good place to be given the state of the church today. You know, there's always a remnant. There are people that are doing the do, but look, there is such caution right now. If you, you know, if you move into, you know, these final these final chapters of the Word of God, going into Peter and John, and going into, you know, Thessalonians, going to, into Timothy, there's some serious warning into Revelation. There's some serious warning that's going on to the church, and we're not talking about that. And I don't know if you talk about that within your own church. I don't know what goes on, you know, on Sunday mornings at your church. If you're building one another up, equipping each other. But look, you know, you're going to accomplish all that you put your mind to. So if you put your mind to these secular things, that's what you're going to get. So you have to stop. If you're starting to feel the conviction of like, yeah, you know what, I'm kind of there, but I want you to start to move away from that. The other thing, so here's another deal, is that the fallen human mind, right? I mean, you have to understand that your mind comes out of a fallen place. The human mind is fatally flawed by sin. So Jeremiah 17:9. Let's turn over there. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, a lot of you already know this one, right? About the heart being deceitfully wicked. It says, verse 9, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Okay, number three, choices. What you feed will win. What you feed will win. I wrote down, what you feed will win as the champion. Do you feed the flesh or do you feed the spirit? Because whichever one you're feeding, that's the one that is going to win out. Let's go to Romans 8. You know, there's always these battles, right? And sometimes we get into them, like if I look at my own walk over periods of time, like no word. I could go months without reading the word, like being serious about it. And I would get in these crazy swings, these nutty cycles of like feast and famine. And it's just not a good place to be. You really want to eat every day so that you don't move into like a spiritual diabetic coma. And, or, you know, loss of blood sugar spiritually because you're just not eating right. You're not taking in what the Lord has for you. So Romans 8, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And I think, you know, that's really where we want to be, right? You want to be in a place where God is pleased with you. It's not just that he likes you, that he loves you, that he rescued you, that he saved you, right? But it's the idea that God is pleased with you. He looks down and he says, man, I like the way that this guy comes after me. You know, Cooper's not the brightest guy that I put on the planet, but the potential is there because he wants to come to know me. He wants to do what I want him to do. So what you feed, whether you're feeding the carnal mind or if you're feeding your spiritual mind, that's what's going to win out. So if you're starting to look around you and you can see evidence surrounding your life, like, man, there's a lot of stuff that's falling down around me, and it seems like I'm always running into problems, you might be thinking, I think I need to start getting into the Word a little bit, because somehow my words and the way that I'm walking out my Christian life just is not where it needs to be. Amen? All right. So, 9 observations of the humanoid. Number 1, you'll accomplish all that you put your mind to naturally, supernaturally, for evil or for good. And number 2, the human mind is fatally flawed by sin. It was Jeremiah 17:9. Choices. Number 3, choices. What you feed will win as the champion, either your flesh or your spirit. Number 4, ignorance leads to blindness. So you can pretend that this isn't going to affect you. You can think, you know what, I'm going to start up. I'm going to get a fresh start on this thing on Sunday. Or I'm going to start up in the morning. But right now I'm going to chill out over here. I'm going to play some cards with my buddies. I'm going to go, you know, pop in some video games. I'm going to go do something else. And then I'm going to get into the Word, like I'm serious about this. But you never really get to it. And that's part of how the enemy comes in to kind of toy with you. He kind of starts to swallow up your time. And he swallows your time, and then you get to the end of the day, and now really you got to get some rest so that you can get to work. But then you keep telling yourself that you're going to go into this, but you never do. So you really have to kind of, you got to dig your cleats in here. All right, so ignorance will lead to blindness. Let's go to Ephesians 4. You know, my Ephesians world in my Bible really got hammered in my last Bible. It's just trash. It's so overridden with notes. My goodness, say Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians. God's Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's how I remember it. God's Electric Power Company, Ephesians. So Ephesians chapter 4, let's go to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart. Let's go to Romans 1:28. So here we have, right, okay. So anyway, testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Look, don't continue doing what you used to do. Don't walk in the way that the world walks. You have to change that up. God says it's a futility. It's a futility in their mind. And when we look at that word futility, that which is devoid of truth. You know, you're not paying attention to things, perverseness and deprivation starts coming at you, a frailty, falling into error almost, right? This idea that, look, if you keep walking around people that don't want anything to do with the Lord, or they are lightly mocking the Lord. They're lightly mocking the fact that you read your Bible. They mock the fact that you're, you know, that you don't want to step out on your wife, or, you know, that you don't want to, that you're treating your kids in a certain way. You have to step out of hanging around with those kind of people. You don't have to, you know, be mean about it. You can just not show up anymore. Hey, what happened to you the other night? You know what? I had other plans. You don't have to go into some kind of a diatribe to win them over to Jesus. You know, unless they become a person of peace, right? And, you know, someday we should probably have a walk through that. But that was a big revelation for me. That's out of Luke 10. Persons of peace, putting the blessing on the home. And then, but if that blessing of peace turns back on you, then you got to walk away from that. Quit trying to twist people's arms to come to church. God's trying to pull you out of a place, and you don't need to pull everybody with you. You need to get out and you need to get busy in doing what God has called you to do. All right? So, don't walk into the futility of your mind or having your understanding darkened. Think about that. That's the other thing. It's like, truth is all true. Focus on what's true. Look to truth. Untruth will be expressed and dropped. You don't have to hang on to that. And truth is a person. Truth is Jesus. Truth is the Holy Spirit, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness. And what exactly are we talking about? Lewdness is an unbridled lust. There's an excessiveness to it, a licentiousness, a wantonness, an outrageousness, shamelessness, right? Mark talks about this in chapter 7, verse 22. It says, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. You know, this is kind of what lewdness is. To work all uncleanness with uncleanliness with greediness. I don't even know what that means, but let's take a look at what the Amplified says on that. That's verse 19. So 19 says, in their spiritual apathy, they've become callous, past feeling, and reckless, and have abandoned themselves a prey to the unbridled sensuality, eager and greedily to indulge in every form of impurity that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. You didn't learn that from Christ. You need to drop that off and remove yourself from it. All right, we were going to go over to Romans 1:28, which is back, if you want to roll back here. You're going to come out of the book of Acts, and you're going to go into Romans. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. All right, there's part of it, right? Part of what we're talking about. Retaining knowledge about God. This is, right, whatever you set your mind to. If you're setting your mind to other things other than the Word of God, you're setting your mind to that. It's not that you're being absent from the Word. It's that you're engaging with other things. They did not even like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. That's 28. Giving their mind over to do those things which are not fitting things. Dishonor their body, verse 24. Vile passions in their soul, verse 26. Debased minds, verse 28. What are we talking about? Ignorance that leads to blindness, that leads to a depravity, that leads to God giving you over to something that you really don't want God to give you over to this. And when do you know that enough is enough? How do you know that you can slip by just one more time, let go of one more Sunday, skip out on another week's worth of Bible study, or whatever it is that you're doing, right? Or just to continue on hanging out with the people that you're hanging with. How do you know when the day is that you're no longer in it? And I think that becomes a big problem, right? So anyway, the fallen mind can know something of God through creation. I mean, we're always kind of reminded of the fact when we look at the creation that there is a God, right? So number five, simply put, there are not going to be no excuses. Let's look at verses 19 and 20 from Romans 1. 19 and 20 from Romans chapter 1 says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Being without excuse. So in other words, there's no excuse for men to be ignorant of the invisible things. Because verse 19 says that all visible things, even the eternal power and Godhead, are clearly seen by visible things of creation. So there's no excuses. I mean, people that say, well, there is no God, I just don't believe that there's a God. No, you're lying to yourself. It's not that you don't believe that there's a God. You're denying that there's a God. It's not that you don't believe that there's a God. This goes even deeper into the heart of men. And I kind of like to put it as saying that, you know, when God created man, he put his stamp on him. There's nobody on the planet that doesn't know that there's a God. God is very capable of reaching and instructing and speaking to every living creature on the planet. He does not have any problem communicating with man or woman. So, there's no excuses. So, with the mind, right? So, these are just nine observations of the human mind. We got through five of them, right? And so, what I want to try to do, because of obviously I've run us a little bit long here, but I want to kind of jump into this on our next podcast. We'll start talking about, well, you know what, let's do this. We'll do this one last one, okay? So number six, the fallen mind tends to confuse the creator with his creation. Ah, so let's look at that, okay? So go over to Isaiah 44. Confusing yourself, right, between the creator and the created, right? I mean, we're on this side of the resurrection. But verse 16, and this is really, this is where Isaiah is talking about idolatry. Verse 16, he says, he burns half of it in the fire. With his half he eats meat. He roasts a roast. He is satisfied and even warms himself and says, I'm warm by the fire. I've seen the fire. I'm warm. I've seen the fire. And the rest of it he makes into a god, his carved image. He falls down before it and worships it, prays to it. And he says, deliver me, for you are my God. Right? I mean, just think about that. That sounds silly to us today, right? But man alive, I mean, think about what your phone does for you today. You can order, you know, you can get plane tickets, you can get an Uber, you can get an Uber Eat, you can write your obituary, you can do all kinds of things with your phone, right? And I'm not saying that people bow down to it. But you know what? I think the average person checks his phone like every 12 minutes or something like that. whether it vibrated or not. Every 12 minutes, probably less. It's probably even less than that now. But that was, I think, a number that I heard back in the day. But confusing the creator with his creation. Let's look at Romans. Here we're going to roll back out to Romans. But I want you to see this, because tomorrow we're going to talk about the consequences of the human mind's sinfulness. So today, you know, we're just kind of looking at the mind. And that it's the seat of reason. Your mind is the decision maker. You know, your will, what you're deciding that you're going to do. And some people are like, well, I'm not going to follow after God, even though I know that that there is a God. I'm going to say that there's not a God. But here, and maybe you know where I'm going. Some of you guys might not. But I always found this to be a most interesting passage. Romans 1, 21 through 25. So, my goodness sakes. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Nor were they thankful. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. The fallen mind tends to confuse the Creator with His creation. That was number 6. So the mind, right? We've got to get to that place where the mind is what we're trying to renew. We renew the mind by going into Scripture. We renew the mind by listening to men of God talk about God. We have spiritual conversations with other men and women. If you're a man, you have spiritual conversations with men. If you're a woman, have spiritual conversations with other women. Don't get caught up in having conversations, spiritual conversations with people of the opposite sex. I'm not saying never. I'm telling you that it can lead to some unhealthy things. So just be wise if you're doing any kind of a crossover there, okay? So, Father, I just lift up to you our listeners here and people across the globe, Lord, that they would see their mind as this wonderful thing that you have given to us, Lord. Our inner orientation, Lord, it comes out of the fallen state of man. And, Lord, we know that it is in conflict with you. But, Lord, you say in your word that we can renew our mind. You say in your word, Lord, that you can train us up in the way that we should go and that we won't depart from it. Lord, I just thank you, God, that we are capable of knowing you and we are capable, Lord, to be changed and be renewed by you. And I thank you for each one of our listeners, Lord. Bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Bye-bye.